Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at the launch of Amazon.ie in 2025 and find out what it will mean for Irish businesses. We'll also look back at the arrival of the new iPad lineup and that controversial ad from Apple. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But first, we're going to start with that news from Amazon that they're finally launching Amazon.ie. It's been a long time coming and it should be here at some stage in 2025. Emmett Ryan, the tech journalist, is with me now. Emmett, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to be back with you again, talking about something which, well, I'm mostly happy with, I suppose.
Oh, go on, talk me through your thoughts and feelings.
Well, I'm mostly happy because people who use Amazon, and I have noticed I've been using it less, and not for moral reasons, I should point out, for practical reasons, are going to be very happy because it's something that should really have happened a decade ago at the absolute latest, if we're being entirely honest, is finally happening, and Amazon is having a dedicated Irish store. For those listening who've never used Amazon, who aren't regular users, you typically had to use the UK store pre-Brexit, which came with its own challenges, obviously, because everything was priced in pounds, sterling, rather than euros. Or alternatively, you'd use a store like Germany, which you'd translate easy enough, but would obviously lead to delays. And that became more popular post-Brexit because of the small matter of all the charges coming, getting stuff in from the UK. But really, there wasn't anything that was just, here's something for your market that's user-friendly. Like, it was a lot of effort to you to order from Amazon if you lived in Ireland. And that is the main reason. Like, I haven't ordered anything from Amazon in several years because of just how impractical it is, to be honest, Jess.
Later in the show, I'm going to bring a report that I recorded in the fulfillment center back in 2022 when it first opened. And I kind of expected the .ie domain thing to come alongside that fulfillment center. Do we have any indication as to why it's taken them so long to make this happen?
It doesn't really appear to be anything published by Amazon, which leads me to get to lots of conjecture. But in all seriousness, the most logical reason is they probably didn't feel it was worth their while, that they were retaining enough Irish regular sales. Because, of course, the shopping part of Amazon is only a smaller part of what they do nowadays. They're so much more focused on all the combined stuff. Obviously, AWS is a huge driver of their business, but that's much more B2B. But I suppose Amazon are realizing, well, there's an awful lot of consumer shopping in Ireland, and it seems to be moving away from us, or at least they thought it was moving away to them to some degree. And the rationale was, I would say, is what I said to you earlier in this segment, which is it wasn't easy to order from Amazon. It was just frankly easier to order from literally any other site. And Amazon's entire sales point has always been how easy it is to use. So when your biggest advantage is the reverse of the scenario that's actually there, the natural move is to obviously try and address it at some point. They probably figured the number crunchers, it's finally reached the level where it's worth having a dedicated Irish site.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how exactly it will operate, because the arrival of the fulfillment centre to Dublin back in 2022 meant that they could store hundreds of thousands of products there. So I'm just wondering, in terms of the back end of Amazon, how do they decide what to store here? And will it mean that we get the same day delivery? Because my sister, who lives in the UK, can order something at 9 a.m. and it could be at her table by lunchtime. Like, it's an incredible service.
We'll see some of it, but not all of it. I wouldn't get too excited as a short version, Jess. I know I always bring the joy to the segments I do on this show, but essentially they're going to be doing it by the numbers the way they always have. And one of those will essentially be work out what products are going to be in demand enough that it's worth putting in position where same day delivery is enough. I know most of my buying on Amazon is because I can't find, or was, sorry, because I haven't used it in so long, was because I couldn't find anything anywhere else. And that was why I went there. And while that's obviously not everybody, but there's a really significant portion of users, and amongst those would be one of those who would really go for same day delivery. So those users, I would say, don't be too excited just yet. But for, I think, the more general high demand products, I suppose I describe it as, has, I think we could well see it coming in pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you touched upon a few things. Firstly, the moral objections to shopping from Amazon, I completely understand and empathize. But as you just mentioned there, sometimes people turn to Amazon because they can't find what they're looking for anywhere else. Like the example for me is if there's a specific type of cable I'm looking for to charge a device that will only work with a certain cable and so on, Amazon is good for that. The reaction from the business community to the launch of Amazon.ie, it's not, from what I've seen anyway, it hasn't been as outraged. Is the perception of Amazon being bad for small and medium businesses, is that going or gone, or is it just that we're not hearing as much of it at the moment?
It's going to be the last one because it is bad for small and medium businesses. Like they can talk all they like about how there's, you know, 1,000 Irish SMEs already selling on Amazon, which is what they claim in their announcement, and that they generate so much in export sales. I believe it was 150 million they claimed. But bottom line is, Amazon tracks its own data. So if something sells well on Amazon from an independent seller, Amazon will quickly find a way to start selling it themselves at a lower price. So they will, you know, they are, you know, a bane really to creative industry, to those who are seeking to start something out and get going in sales. It's almost like the absolute worst enemy you could have.
But do you, because you see, I'm kind of torn. Look, I completely understand. John Oliver did a brilliant piece about Amazon a few years ago where he gave that exact example. You know, there was a bag that was selling incredibly well. It was produced really high quality. Amazon noticed that it was selling well and then made a knockoff version of it. But do you not think that for some businesses, using the Amazon service will take some of the admin and perhaps some of the cost from running their own e-commerce site if they can just utilize Amazon.ie?
It's obviously the attraction of it, like, because you are basically getting rid of an awful lot of the admin and the cost, as you say. But those are short-term gains for, like, long-term, I think, serious damage because, you know, it's like, yeah, I am just going to be the complete, I know, here type person on this, is that eventually, you know, you're not going to get associated with that product. You're not going to get associated with that service. It's going to be seen as an Amazon product, Amazon service, even if Amazon don't copy it and don't resell it, because that's where people go to buy it. And, you know, I look at it that way. I kind of go, you've really got to find a way to get your own identity out there. Like when you're using other services that are out there, Shopify is the obvious one that comes to mind, but they aren't the only option. It's much easier to retain your own identity and the brand benefits that come with that. And as a result, the customer loyalty that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. The other question that's cropped up quite a bit this week is why, like, so not only why has it taken so long for Amazon.ie to be realized, but why is it going to take until 2025? And from some of the reporting I read by our colleague and friend Ciara O'Brien, they haven't specified a date. So it's any time between January and December 25. Well, what's taken so long?
Yeah, and I really think they just figured it wasn't worth the investment. That's, you know, the only logical reason I can see for this, because Amazon won't, they are a very smart organization. I think no one's going to argue that. If something is worth doing, they'll do it. If it's not worth doing, they won't. They're pretty black and white in that. And I figured, well, we probably should get around to doing it. And it will be essentially building an entire new site, because the back end work, even though an awful lot of this stuff exists for the US, exists for the UK, exists for other large markets, and even some small ones, everything has to be localized to so many different degrees in terms of sort of various different parts of the site. And AI can only do so much of that for you. So there's got to be an awful lot of, you know, legwork, so to speak, behind the scenes to actually build a reliable enough Irish site that will actually have Irish customers go, okay, this is worth using.
Mm. They've also, as part of the announcement, said they've struck up a 5-year deal with OnPost as well in terms of delivery, which I do think is good news. Like, we know that OnPost has shifted dramatically from letters to a parcel delivery company in recent years. It seems to be going incredibly well. They have embraced the digitalization. They've embraced EVs. So surely even you could see the good news in that side of things.
Agree. But again, it's a case of, right, so OnPost is now going to be somewhat at the behest of Amazon, is my first thought, because this is going to be a very important contract for them. And you would wonder just how much sway and influence they'll have over sort of, you know, the overall operations of OnPost, because its most important operations are always its least profitable in terms of the services they provide to people for whom there is no real alternative. And now they're obviously going to be driven heavily by sort of, you know, the influence of one enormous company, which is going to absolutely be so much bigger in terms of product delivery than anything else in terms of customers on Post could possibly have. Like, no one's going to come close to Amazon in that respect. So they're going to have an awful lot of sway in dictating on Post internal own policies. I'm really uplifting Amazon.
Yeah, you've got your cranky hat on today. So just the final question then, I suppose, comes back to jobs, right? Because Amazon already employs around 6,000 people at different offices and bases and facilities here in this country. Do you anticipate this being a good jobs story at the very, very least?
Could be. Like, I can't see how it wouldn't be. The obvious question really would be where exactly they're going to create them. I don't mean location, I mean types of roles, because they already have quite a lot of people here, like 6,500. But the vast majority of them aren't with this part of the business. They're much more with the AWS side and the more business-to-business side, which is obviously better jobs as well, so that's great. Essentially, it's what they're going to do in terms of creation. The upside is we have very strong employment laws in the European Union, so the classic Amazon practices, so to speak, are a lot harder to implement, thankfully. But, it should create more jobs. I'm not sure what types or where is the easy answer to that.
All right. Emmett Ryan, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jess. And don't worry, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, of that I have no doubt. Emmett Ryan, technology journalist and friend of the show, thank you so much as always. When we come back here on News Talk, I'm going to take you inside the Amazon Fulfillment Center. It opened in December 22. I was there. I got to meet the team. I even got to pack an order. So I'll take you inside that impressive building right after this.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Before the break, I was chatting to Emmett Ryan, the tech journalist, about the arrival of Amazon.ie. And I think it's going to mean good things for the Irish consumer. But I would love to hear from small and medium businesses. Do you see it as an opportunity or do you see it as a threat? Do you sell your products on Amazon already? Do you think that you will get more traction by maybe using Amazon.ie. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. But I mentioned in the conversation with Emmett that I was out at the Fulfillment Centre here in Dublin when it opened back in 2022. It is huge. It's the size of 9 football fields back to back to back to back. And if you were to walk around it, I think it's 12 kilometres in total. So it's huge, right? But it's such an impressive operation in terms of the thinking behind it, as well as the technology used on site to try and make the entire process as efficient as possible. And I want to bring you some of that report from December 2022, just so you can get a bit of an idea as to what exactly goes on there.
Hi, Jess. I'm Dara Kelly. I'm the general manager for Amazon's first fulfillment center here in Dublin in Ireland.
So I've just arrived and I know, because me being me, I went to the wrong entrance and I walked around the facility and it's huge. Before we talk through the nitty-gritty of what goes on, what is a fulfillment centre?
Yeah, great question. So essentially, this is the building where we house all the wonderful products that our customers can order each day. So we bring our products in from multiple different sources. We store them here and then we pack and ship them out to our customers. So it's a large warehouse that covers all those aspects of fulfilling your order. Ireland's a really important market for what Amazon does, and Northern Ireland. And you're right, it's about speed and supporting our customers. So over the next number of months, some of your customer orders will come from here. Some will come from other areas outside of the Dublin site as well. But it's about speed and supporting our customers with that aspect. The model that Amazon uses really is, how can we place some of our available items closer to your home? So I think in the background, our systems just look at maybe previous buying patterns, what we think customers would like to purchase. And if we have the opportunity then to store that locally here in this particular fulfillment center, it means that if you order it, you will get it quicker to your home. So there's a number of aspects to it, but ultimately it's about trying to understand what the consumer will wish to purchase in the future and have it here in advance.
Is it a sign of Ireland's reliance and use of Amazon that the fulfillment center was opened? You know, I assume they didn't just do this for the crack. There was a key business purpose to it.
Yeah, I think any decision to invest in a substantial building like this is made a number of years in advance. So while the building was built out over the last 18 months, those decisions would be made a number of years ago. And again, it's just back to the presence and the level of customers and sales that we have in Ireland is just supporting that even further. Mm.
As I said at the top, it's a huge facility. Give me an idea of the scale and the number of people working here.
Yes, it's quite large. It's one of the biggest warehouse developments to be opened in the past 24 months in Ireland. And currently, it's approximately 680,000 square feet. In some terms, that's 9-10 football pitches. Inside the building, it's 5 stories high in some parts. And if you were to walk all the walkways in one day, it's approximately 12 kilometers to get you around the building to incorporate all those different walkways that you'll get a chance to see later on.
One of the things with Amazon, a company like Amazon, is sometimes people have perceptions. They might have read headlines from other parts of the world. How important is it from the Irish operation side of things to ensure that your workforce are happy and healthy and having different opportunities that may not, you know, be aligned with what some people may have preconceived notions of?
Yeah, and Jess, I fully understand your question. And I think to put it in perspective, I was spent the last 10 years working in a US medical firm, had a great experience, and Amazon sought to hire a local leadership team. I was one of those lucky hires. And over the last 18 months, we've been building up a large leadership team and hiring our employees, relocating them to parts of the UK for training them. On the tour today, you're going to get to meet a lot of our graduate managers. We've a lot of MBA graduates that have joined us as well as part of this. And all of that is focused on building that right environment. I've been involved in either manufacturing or supply chain for the last 15 years. I'm really proud of how we run this building. And I'm hoping you're going to get to see that today as we walk around as well.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant stuff. Well, let's head outside and have a look at the main floor.
Jess, welcome to the heart of our building. So we've just walked out into the middle of our building. You can see to the right inside a 4-story part of our building, and behind us is a 5-story part of our building. So essentially what you're looking at here is where all our wonderful products are stowed, ready to be picked by our employees, and then they come downstairs to our right inside where our main packaging area is. They get packaged, and at that point then customer details get applied and shipped. We're just passing our learning development area, our HR area, our safety area. All of these hubs are based on the floor, accessible 24/7 to our employees. And right now we're in the cool part, is our tech center. And you'll see that at the end of our tour as well, where we give an overview of what our tech center does to help manage our building. I'm going to let Marcus, our inbound manager, lead us.
Yes. You got sunshine. You can see the windows at the sun in, which is beautiful. This is our inbound dock area. So we've got a gatehouse outside that accepts our trucks in. We know what's coming in. We've got a schedule of them. We've got what's known as a digital twin. So we can see it on a number of computer systems that let us know from a geolocation perspective where they all are, anywhere around the UK, Ireland or Europe. So we know exactly when they're coming to us. We book them in and we may decide to unload them if they're a live load, or they can sit on a parking space. We've over in excess of 100 parking spaces on the site. And then we'll schedule them in on what's known as a FIFO, which is first in, first out. We will then make a decision on a daily basis over a 24-hour shift, how much inventory will we process? So we will make that decision generally about a week out, that we'll have capacity to inject maybe 60, 70,000 units into the building, etc. So we make that decision a week out, and then we will schedule the headcount towards that.
Just going to walk into where our incoming drivers come to us, and if there's something we saw during the pandemic and during other times is how important drivers are for any company. So obviously a lot of companies will come to us, a lot of different haulage companies will come to us, and what's really important to us is driver welfare. So when they arrive, that they have a space to relax in as we work on the delivery that they've brought to us. So just for you to give you a quick insight, so this is our team that looks after our drivers in our yards. And just to see, this is actually one of our lounge areas for dedicated to those who arrive on site through our haulage companies. So just a space to relax, canteen services, areas to get refreshed, It's a nicer environment than sometimes just waiting in your HGV as you're waiting to be loaded or unloaded.
Yeah, so just to give you an idea, there are microwaves, there's tea and coffee, that all important stuff, there's vending machines with snacks, and then there is nice seated areas in a very bright and sunny room today, which is a change for normal Dublin weather, which is a nice space for people just to have that bit of downtime in between commutes.
Yeah, and especially the World Cup is on the moment, so a nice space to watch the World Cup as you're waiting for your next trailer to be ready as well. And we've lots of nationalities that come into this particular facility, so the World Cup is a big hit at the moment in this particular space.
Thank you.
So now I think Marcus has showed you how we have items arrived to our fulfillment centre. The next thing we want to do is put you to work a little bit, because you've arrived, and we'd like to stow some of those items into our shelves, make them available for customers, and one of our team upstairs is going to take you through that.
Amazing, let's go.
We will measure things. There is a randomness, but there's also a specificity about it as well. So certain items, such as all the books, are kept up here, and the purpose for that is they're easily damaged, so therefore, in order to give them to the customer in the manner in which they intended, we protect them in this manner here. So, as you would find in the library at home. Smaller items are kept in drawers, because we're able to put more of those items in there. Mm-hmm. And the larger items, including apparel, will go in the larger bins here. So there is a system towards it.
So Jess, now we've covered stow, and well done on stowing your first item in our fulfillment centre. We're just moving on to our pick process. So right now this customer order is live. Karen Brady is one of our area managers on site today, and Karen's going to go take you through the process of picking that item for the customer before we will then go down to our pack stations and get it ready for our customer delivery.
Brilliant stuff.
So like when every picker comes in the morning or for the start of their shift, they grab a scanner and then they log themselves in, and it'll basically tell them where to go. So obviously we're broken up into 5 different floors and then different kind of sections. Everything is labelled with a number, so they know exactly where to go. And then like I was saying earlier, the process pad is also there. So whether it's like singles or multis or whatever, they have that as well. Basically then, first thing you do is just scan a tote, and then it'll tell you the location, it'll tell you the item, there's a picture as well which can help them, so if they don't know what they're looking for just by the title, they can kind of maybe compare with the picture as well. So
it's a double method of ensuring we've picked the right item. So yes, we can scan the barcode, but also having a picture of the actual item as well for every single item that we store in our sites is really helpful to our employees.
Yeah, because there are quite literally thousands and thousands of items in front of us. Yeah. So every little helps, right, in terms of getting that right item. So we have to now go to a particular location and get this particular paperback for this particular customer.
Yep.
Awesome, let's go.
Yep. Yeah, so obviously it matches up with each bin. Has its own like unique identifier, mm-hmm. and then obviously that matches up with the number that's on the screen. So you find the one you're looking for, which is here. You scan the QR code, and then it'll tell you to inspect and scan the item. So the picker will find the item that they're looking for, which is this book, mm-hmm. in this case. And then we do our six-sided check. So we basically have a look at the item, make sure that there's no damage on every side of it, and then once we're happy with it that there is no damage, then you just scan the item and it comes up saying that the item is picked, and just to put it into your tote. And then also we then just rescan the tote so that we're sure that it's in the right tote, because once that gets sent down to pack, if it's in the wrong tote, for example, and they scan the tote, the item is going to be missing. So in this case, it just makes sure that we have the right item and we know where it is.
So Jess, now you have successfully stowed items for our customers, you've now picked some of your first items, and the second last step in the process is we now need to put that in a packaging that'll keep your item safe and in quality fashion until it gets to your home. So we're just going to walk into our main packaging hall here, where we've a lot of our employees currently on our different packaging stations, and we're going to set you up to pack one or two items for us today. So Jess, this is Jesus, who's with us.
Hi.
Jesus is
Hi.
One of our instructors, actually, for this area. So no better person to take you through how we pack our items.
So these are the two items that have been picked and inducted and ribboned. And the ribbon is brought to me.
Okay.
for packing. So I pick it from the ribbon, and I look at the screen for the system to give me instructions. So now the system says, this is the package that I need to pack the items. Yeah, everything is fed into the system. Then the system actually directs us.
It'll actually pick the smallest packaging type to, again, reduce waste sustainability. So the screen will pick, it knows the actual size and weight of these items already on the system, and we know those items will fit there safely, securely, and then get shipped out.
I scan the items. I pack them, and scan spool label is already printed on the envelope. So I just have to scan it and put it on a conveyor.
Okay, that was very seamless.
Yeah. And then it is processed through the shipping.
So, Jess, you've now packed your first items. And the most important thing now is to get the person's name and their address. And right now, this amazing machine in front of us is doing that. So it's pulling the order off the system. It knows we've packed it. It knows exactly where it is in our conveyor system here in front of us. And each time you see this air cushion come down, it's applying the person's name and details. And this is the only point where where a person's name and details gets attached to a package. And as you can see, it's behind the safety cordon, not accessible to our employees.
And so am I right in saying that there are barcode scanners earlier on before the stickers applied to ensure that the right item is in the right location?
Yes.
And then the right label goes on.
And not just that. The system is so sophisticated, it's actually a weighing scale as well. And if, for example, every item that's in this fulfillment center has a registered weight, and the package that we are going to assign to it has a registered weight, and if somebody incorrectly uses the wrong package or puts the wrong item into a package, our weigh system will pick it up and say, there's something to be checked here, and it'll actually place it out here at the end. And it'll ask our team, can you double check that this is correct? Because we picked up either a weight issue or it's a different package than we expected you to put it in.
And I assume they can scan the barcode and see where along the food chain something might have gone awry, because everything has been scanned along the way.
So out of the hundreds of thousands of items that ship every day across Amazon and millions of items across the EU, if something gets kicked out, the person can just open it, re-scan it, and make sure it actually was the right item or not before it leaves our sites. So as you can see now, we're standing here and there's a solid flow of items passing us, and its label is on, address is on, and you can see no issues occurring.
And there are, just again to make people understand and to be appreciated, there are staff members here on hand checking any parcels that need to be checked. Also, I'm sure being on hand in case, you know, the machines need a hand or whatever it is.
The person standing closest to us is our head of engineering for the site, because this is a really important part of our site. So Loic is actually here just ensuring that the standards are being met from equipment maintenance point of view. And we have one of our team members as well on standby that if a package needs to be double checked, she can just double check that before it leaves. So Jess, we've now moved down to where our shipping department is. We have stowed our items, we've picked our items, we've placed our customer details on it, and now it's a case of sorting it. So at this point, all of our packages are coming down different lanes. We have Peter McAvoy here, who's one of our managers, and his team are working to ensure there are packages that are sorted into different lanes. Why do we have different lanes? If you're a customer in Ireland, you'll receive your Amazon package through either an Amazon delivery van or Unpost. So every day we're actually segregating these shipments into what areas of Ireland they need to be shipped to ahead of their final delivery from that point on.
Yeah, that was some of my report from inside the Amazon Fulfillment Centre in Dublin back in 2022 when it first opened here in Ireland. And I suppose that was one of the stepping stones to get us to the point where we will next year have Amazon.ie. As I said, it's a huge, very impressive operation. And I think the space will be fully utilised when we have the Irish domain, because they'll have better insights and hopefully we'll be able to get same day delivery in some instances anyway. But let me know what you think of Amazon.ie. Are you excited by it? Have you gone off Amazon entirely? I know some people have. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. But when we come back, we are going to answer your tech questions. Stay tuned.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
The Jinx is a 6-part HBO documentary series. It details a case of real estate heir Robert Durst.
The director promises tonight's final installment will answer questions people have been asking for decades.
As The Jinx aired, Bob and I spoke after every episode. He was very nervous, and I thought to myself, he's gonna run.
My captain told me, whatever you do, don't let Robert Durst get away.
Bob is gonna flee the country, never to return. And of course, that didn't happen.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Bob.
Bob?
I was arrested this afternoon.
When Bob has a friend, he expects blind loyalty.
Bob, you were a good friend. I only have the fondest, greatest memories of you.
You should expect to get a call from the DA wanting to talk to you, that you don't tell them shit.
Turns out, when you have a whole lot of money, people are willing to do things for you because they think some of that money might go their way. I'm the best.
Everybody's gonna work together to get me out of here.
You don't kill three people over 30 years and get away with it in a vacuum.
What do you do when your best friend kills your other best friend?
I'll tell you something, Bob. What you need to do is stay out of it.
This is my life.
Just listen, just listen.
You were lying because you did remember.
I lied to you. Oh.
If a good friend of mine is implicated in three murders, I'd like to think I would recoil from that. But who knows until you're tested.
I am getting my own 15 minutes, and it is gargantuan.
Ooh, that is the trailer for The Jinx Part 2, which is continuing to tell the story of Robert Durst, who is a member of the Durst family dynasty. If you didn't watch the first series, do it tonight. It's on Sky or Now TV. It's definitely worth signing up and availing of the free trial of Now TV if you have an email address you've never used before with it. 100% worth it. It's one of the most compelling docuseries I've ever seen. And there are endless twists and turns, and it's just like, it's stranger than fiction. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those. So that is my recommendation for you this week. As always, I love to hear your recommendations for TV, movies, books. Email me at techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, before I go, I want to answer your tech questions because they have been coming in thick and fast. First up, we have one from Jim here. He says, quick recommendation if you could. Retired now, on the hunt for the cheapest tablet. I only need it for two hobbies, gardening and golf, i.e. forums and YouTube videos and some news feeds. Don't watch films, etc. Do email on the phone. Many thanks. Jim, you've got plenty of options. My go-to tablet recommendation is always the Samsung Tab A, because I just think it is incredible in terms of the power for the price point. If, however, you don't want to spend that, I think it's around the 200 euro mark. If you want something that's a little bit cheaper, there are Xiaomi tablets. I know for sure they're in Harvey Norman. And again, they are solid and reliable and will absolutely enable you to watch your golfing and gardening videos on YouTube and go through the forums and all the rest. So it's either Xiaomi or Samsung. I hope that helps. The next one here is from Nola, and she said, hi Jess, do you know the best SIM card to use in Sicily? I would like to purchase one near there. So Nola, a few things on this. Firstly, depending on how long you're going for. So if, say, for example, you're just going for a holiday, you should be entitled to use whatever calls, texts and data you're paying for here in Ireland over in Sicily, because we have what's called Roam Like at Home. So if you're traveling within the EU, you should be able to use your mobile phone as if you were at home. Now, there is fine print associated with that, so you just need to make sure that you read your contract. So there's a fair usage policy in some instances. So say it could be capped at whether it's 15 gig or 60 gig, which is still a huge amount of data, but you just need to know what the cutoff point is. So that would be your first port of call. Then if you're going for a longer period of time and you want to get a SIM card over there, I don't know all of the mobile networks that operate in Italy. I know that Vodafone has a good presence there, so you could get a Vodafone SIM. It's worth just shopping around and again looking at the terms and conditions of the contracts, because you want to make sure that you're obviously getting the best value possible. We were talking about eSIMs on the show recently, because I used GOMO World for the first time when I was in Boston and Austin, and it was phenomenal. I think it cost me seven quid for 7 or 10 gigs of data for 15 days. Now, I was only there for 5 days, so it was more than I needed, very affordable, and the service worked so well. But I think you only really need that if you are going outside of Europe. You should, as I said, be able to use the roam like at home. So to summarize, first port of call, roam like at home, check what your terms and conditions are. See what your limit is. If you're going for a longer period of time, absolutely get a localized SIM card. As I said, Vodafone, I know for sure, has a presence there. I don't know the other operators that are in town, but you should be able to find it handy enough. And just make sure that you, again, are aware of what you're signing up to. It might be easier to get a pay-as-you-go SIM and top it up, but just again, be mindful of your data usage. And if your phone is dual SIM, make sure that you turn off the data for your Irish SIM card, so that you don't accidentally go over whatever your data allocation is. I hope that is helpful for you. My final email for this week is from Paul, and he said, "Hi Jess, I hope you're well." "I'm very well, Paul. Thank you so much. I'm not that tech savvy, so I would really appreciate a reply so I can read it a few times." Okay, I'll reply to you as well as reading it out. Now, question one. "I have hundreds of photos on my phone. Is there a way I can pick the ones I like and store them separately? Two, how can I then delete the remaining photos I don't want? I want to be able to get them printed off at Harvey Norman and give them to my kids who are all grown up now." Well, that's lovely, Paul. And actually, I was talking to my dear friend Johnny Ward during the week, and he is printing out an awful lot of photographs at the moment. And it makes me so happy to see people printing photos. Okay, so part one of your question, what I would recommend you do, regardless of what phone you have, and this applies to everybody, download the Google Photos app and sync all of your photographs to go up to the Google Cloud. It's really good to have them all backed up anyway, but also it'll help you get stuff off your phone. So download the Google Photos app. It'll sync all of your photographs to the cloud. And then if you find it easier to do it from a laptop, sit down at your laptop and go to photos.google.com, and you'll be able to click through and identify the photographs that you like. You can put, there's a little star symbol that you click on, and that favorites the photographs. And it means then that they are pulled into a separate folder called favorites, and then those are the ones that you can print. Once your photos are in Google Photos, on your device, you have the option of mass selecting. So you can select all, go into your gallery, tap a photo, long press a photo, and then you have the option to select all. And you can delete them, or you can do it one by one. I am a big fan of keeping things. So if you move everything to the cloud, within the Google Photos app on your phone, if you tap on your picture in the right hand corner, it'll give you the option to free up space on your device. And it'll tell you that your photographs are safely in the cloud and you can remove them from your phone. So just go in, get familiar with Google Photos, shimmy all the images across, work through the pictures that you want to favorite. So you can do that by starring them. That'll separate them from everything else. And then you can print those ones and then delete the remainder. Right. If you have any tech questions, if you need help with anything at all, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. Or don't forget, I do my weekly Q&A on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But that's it from me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's Newstalk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.